Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWWN Las Vegas.
Right, I got it. Thanks.
K265EZ. On the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. Also brought to you by Fenley Chevrolet is your home for Woo! Located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler, Robert Smith, and Steve Cofield.
I tell you what, it is so great to be back here in North Dakota. I mean, Robert, you and I went to Wyoming. We brought it back with us, didn't we?
Hey, I went skiing this morning.
Oh,
I don't know about you.
Gosh. It's amazing. But everybody, just please be safe. There are all sorts of warnings about roads and temperatures dropping, and not many of us are used to this. So please take it easy out there. This is John Sandler, along with Robert Smith, the Marvin Menzies Radio Show. Not from North Dakota, but from Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Great to be with you. Runner Rebels on a three-game winning streak have run their mark in conference now to 9-5. The win at Wyoming last time out. As I tweeted, a lot of things accomplished with that win. The Rebels guarantee themselves at least a .500 record in conference play.
That's right.
For the first time in 5 years, which is a big deal, and I think a terrific sign of progress being made by this program after all that it has gone through. It was an opportunity to extend the winning streak to three straight. It snapped a losing streak for the Rebels in Laramie up there, and it got Coach Marvin Menzies a win in his 400th game as a head coach, and I think that's a big deal as well. Congratulations.
That's a lot of games, man.
That is
400
a lot of games.
Coach, you ready to retire yet?
You got to have a special kind of outlook on life to get through 400 games as a Division I head basketball coach. And congratulations to Coach Menzies. And what that does, of course, is it elevates the Rebels into that top five in the conference and gives them an opportunity to finish in that top five and avoid a play-in game in an opening round game in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. We're going to quickly run, just so everybody understands what's going on, because there was a crazy night last night again in Mountain West Conference play with Reno losing at San Diego State. And, of course, the Rebels will play the Aztecs at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday night. But the way the standings sit right now in the conference, Reno still leading at 11-2. Utah State having an absolutely incredible year, a young team with a lot of talent. They are 11-3. Now, unlike the Rebels, their youth, a great deal of it was returning from last year, and they added the international player Kata to their lineup. But they've been terrific. They're 11-3. Fresno State lost last night to go to 10-4. The Aztecs won. They're 9-4. The Rebels just a half game back of San Diego State at 9-5. And then following that, Boise is 6-7. Air Force follows them because they got a big win yesterday. Air Force is now 6-8. New Mexico is 6-9. Wyoming and Colorado State, Wyoming, and then San Jose State. Colorado State 5-8, and Wyoming and San Jose State at the bottom of the pack. The caveat on New Mexico is they still have to play San Jose State twice.
Ooh.
So their schedule gets pretty easy.
Yeah, they can make some
coming up, and they might make some ground up. But the important thing for UNLV, they're in the mix. They're in the middle of that race for a top five spot, and they've won three in a row. And Coach Marvin Menzies is enjoying the fact that the Rebels
are headed in the right direction.
That's a great way to put it. And it's three games in a row where I know you weren't thrilled with the way your team played in any of those three games in a variety of areas. The Rebels are going through a really rough long-range shooting slump right now.
Right.
But they found ways to win.
Yeah, I think the lessons are really how do you prepare yourself on the road. I think the teams that win on the road usually have a little bit more of experience, and teams that know how to get up for a game and compete and look forward to playing on the road. I know, Robert, when you played, I mean, we talked about it in one of the previous episodes, how that was it was fun to go and see. I think you said seeing people, like your goal is to see people walking out when you went to, yep. you went to other games.
As the game's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of comes from within the players, you know. So as they have enough road losses and they experience that, and then they figure out, enough is enough. We've got to find a different way to prepare mentally and individually and then collectively to go out and win. And so the road is a bear, man. So when you come back with a W and off the road, we'll take it. I think I said I can't remember who asked me, but somebody asked me about, were we going to enjoy the win or how we were going to handle the win. I said, you should take the wins and enjoy your wins, but you gotta learn from them. And that comment got out there that we should enjoy the win at San Jose State, and I heard several people commented on that. And that fact that I said we should need to enjoy it. And I know because my brother calls me and tells me what everybody's saying. And I'm like, I see it enough, bro. Like, I hear you, but I don't really hear you.
Right.
So he's learned to be a little bit more cautious now to how he approaches our conversations. But, no, it was good. It was a good trip the last couple days, or the last couple games, I should say, and excited to get a chance to redeem ourselves, against San Diego State.
Absolutely. We'll talk about both the San Jose State and the Wyoming games, but they had one thing sort of in common in that the atmosphere in the arenas at both games was pretty quiet. San Jose State's generally that way, unfortunately. The loudest group in the building were the Runner Rebel boosters who made the trip up, which was great. And thanks again to Kristen Hinton and her team for putting that trip together and all the folks who made the trip up. And then in Wyoming, I'm assuming that people were sitting on their frozen hands and their mouths were frozen shut because it was 5 degrees outside and they couldn't make much noise, but it was awfully quiet in the Double A.
We didn't even hear the crowd. And I don't know how many people were there, but I know that they weren't very engaged until Wyoming made that run late in the game. I think it was about 4 minutes to go, and they came within one, and then you could hear them. And then we hit a couple shots, and then they just went silent again. And it's amazing how sometimes fans don't realize how much they can help a crowd. I mean, help their home team just by pumping those guys up. Those young men love to know that they're playing hard, and they love to be rewarded, even when it's in the first half. Just appreciate it. That's the word. Yep. And they really are motivated by that.
Looking at some of the performances in those games, Joel Tomboy, a lot of people saying, well, he hit a wall or other teams are focusing on him defensively, so unable to get it done. But back into form with 20 against San Jose State and 15 against Wyoming, including the first 7 points of the ball game. So obviously yes, defenses are paying more attention to him, but he's finding a way.
Well, it's not just that teams have made him point of interest. It's also, shot selection and just a process of learning how to play against different defenses that, defense may sag and it's not necessarily stop Joel, but if you take that extra dribble, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Some teams are better at philosophically at really taking away the three ball, so they're doing a better job of challenging him, but not just him, it's just all the guys. So we noticed that in some of our shooting woes, we've run against teams that, do a very good job of challenging the three ball. Fresno State is one of them.
Yeah. And San Diego State will do the same thing, I'm sure.
No question.
And I just watching Joel throughout the season, I think he's starting to learn now that teams are kind of focusing on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he still makes freshman mistakes.
No question.
But I think – even you guys can see where he's starting to grow in certain areas.
Oh yeah, we love him as a kid and as a player as well, because he's very, very coachable. He's mm-hmm. one of those young men that he doesn't get too rattled.
Right.
I pulled him out of the game for an ill-advised shot at Wyoming, and I told him what I wanted, and I just sat him for a minute, mm-hmm. and might not even been a minute. But he went back in, and he made an excellent pass.
Yep.
I think he was one that passed it to Noah.
Yeah.
Yep. For the three.
For the three, that's right.
And he could have taken a maybe semi-challenge shot, but he kept it hot, got the reversal play for other and knocked, and we got the three-pointer.
And it was Joel, right after you put it back in, as you said, who made that pass to Mbaké down on the
right.
baseline.
Yeah.
That was a great play. And that brings a point. I want to talk about both those things. But first of all, I don't remember a runner Rebel team taking a team out of a 2-3 zone because of their execution and getting the ball inside. Yeah, occasionally you'll shoot a team out of a zone just by knocking down a few threes.
Right.
But the Rebels took Wyoming out of their zone, whether it was a good one, not a very good one, whatever you want to say, because they executed well.
I was really pleased with the way the guys operated against the zone. I thought that they stepped to the line when they were off the ball and, you know, were in shot-ready position. They moved it. They kept it hot when it came across the top of the key, and we got it around the horn very quickly. Sliced it up into the middle, and then the middle worked really, really well with the big, and it was just basic, you know, gap, what we call gap game, which is just putting a operational guy in the high post, but then you got to play just conceptual basketball. And I think that's one of the reasons that they were good at it is just because they were free. And it wasn't like a set play, and it wasn't. I mean, we ran a couple sets against it, but it was just make good decisions. And you, when you play a little freer as a player, and you're less bogged down with trying to remember where to go or who to screen or you know what your action is, you can rely on your instincts a little bit, and your basketball IQ starts to shine.
Yeah, you know, and just anecdotally about that, there were a couple of times where Nick Blair, who is as solid and reliable a guy, and Robert knows where I'm going with this.
I know.
You got the ball to Nick. He was that operational guy in the middle of the zone. You got the ball to Nick, and he turned, and it looked as if he was shocked that nobody was within about 3 feet of him.
Yeah.
And he, I can shoot it. I can pass it. I can take 3 or 4 steps. Oh, wait, that's not the right thing.
Right, right. It's just yeah, he actually was so open
exactly
a couple times that he turned it over once. And he just was, wait a minute, when are you going to guard me so I can pass it to somebody? It was funny.
And you could just sort of see the wheels spinning.
Right,
he turned. He's like, okay, I'm ready to do something quickly. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I got all the time in the world.
And it was funny because you could see him thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, literally.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
Yeah. So.
And then the two road games, San Jose State and Wyoming, very similar in the key offensive play of the game. Mm-hmm. At San Jose State, when the Spartans had cut the lead, I believe, to 4 late in the game, under a minute and a half to go, ball got to Amari Hardy, who at that point was I think 2 for 8 from 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And Amari's like, I'm going to do it. And he knocked the shot down even after fumbling the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Wyoming, where Noah Robotham played an uncharacteristically kind of sloppy game.
Right.
And
well, late in the game,
late in the game, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1 for 5 from 3.
Right.
And he got that pass from Joel.
Didn't hesitate.
And, I mean, did not hesitate a second and didn't touch anything but net.
Well, and that's the confidence that they know that I have in them. You know, they're supposed to take open shots. As a matter of fact, you know, I'll get upset with them if they don't take the shot. I mean, I don't think I might want to be one of a few coaches that's having to beg guys to shoot it, you know. Because there are a lot of good looks that come out of the offense, the way it's designed. And you got to identify when to be unselfish and when to take the opportunity of a good shot. So we're getting better at that, obviously, and it was two critical moments in late game scenarios that once again they persevered, which to me, I'd rather have that than blowing a team out,
right?
Because you're going to have tight games in the tournament, and this is what it's all about right now. It's about us playing our best basketball for 3 days in March, and really, there's no other way we're getting to the NCAA tournament. We're still dreaming. We still have a mission in front of us, and we're working hard to try to achieve that.
Are you concerned with the fact that, and they were both on the road, mm-hmm. but the last two games the Rebels really did struggle from three-point range,
right.
A combined 13 for 59?
Yes. Am I concerned about it? No. I would be if they weren't making them in practice. But, you know, like today, I think they made about 13 in a row in one of the shooting drills that Coach LaFleur had them in. And it was Marvin, Amari, Chris, and Noah. And they were kind of competing with each other, who was going to be the first one to miss it. And they knocked down about 13 in a row. Somebody missed, and then they got about 7 in a row. So, I mean, listen, they shoot the ball well. I know that they're capable shooters. Let me put it like that. So, and we've seen stretches in games, not just in games, but we've seen stretches of games.
Of games, absolutely.
Where they were beyond capable. They were, you know, one of the better teams in conference at early part of the conference. So, again, how do you bottle that? You just keep taking good shots, and that's what we're concentrating on.
Robert, you and I talked a little about it on the air against Wyoming. Mm-hmm. It looked as if a couple, you know, guys, and it's natural. You know, your confidence drops just a little bit,
right.
And maybe you do pass up, as Coach was talking about, that open look because maybe you don't feel all that confident. We saw Chris, I think, do it once or twice in that game, for example.
And your confidence starts to waver some games, but the thing I wasn't worried about in the last couple of games was we were getting good points in the paint. So, you know, when it comes to looking at that and then the outside shooting, I wasn't worried about whether, you know, we'd be all right with the outside shooting or not. But as long as we're scoring inside, I'm fine.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it at halftime. We said, listen, we were shooting, I think, 80% from the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Going into the half.
Right.
And I said, listen, you know, you don't have to be a scientist to figure this out. We know you can shoot it. I know you can shoot it. But let's take that shot later in the shot clock, mm-hmm. and keep, you know, if it's not broke, you know, don't fix it.
That's
let's
right.
keep going to the well with what we've been efficient with, which is the inside. And so, as a result, that's kind of what we did the second half a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, Coach Wooden Smith over there was saying the same thing on the radio.
But I'm old school, man. If I see teams take, you know, it's like when I watch NBA games. I get bored now because everybody's shooting threes. Jacking them, not shooting them.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be like Golden State, but you don't have a Curry. You don't have a Klay Thompson.
Right.
You don't have a KD. So you can't do what they do. Mm-mm. You know, you can't implement, you know, the things that they do because they're great shooters.
Yeah, you gotta be who you are.
That's right. You gotta come up with something different. And that's why games bore me now, because a lot of teams just take threes because they feel, hey, sooner or later we're gonna make them. Let's keep shooting them. Work like that.
I had this disagreement. I don't know if I call it a disagreement. I had this conversation with Joe last night, Joe Esposito,
Cup of Joe, okay.
So we were talking about analytics and how analytics are, you know, the new craze in the NBA.
Right.
And, you know, he had sent me some stat on, I think it was our lineups that have been effective in conference and just which ones were the better lineups in conference and so forth. And, you know, there's when you look at analytics, it's really easy to lie with statistics, and
yes.
it's easy to support what you believe.
You can manipulate them a lot,
and you can go find things that support what you think you see.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, analytics are very useful.
Yeah.
But you have to process all of the information,
right.
And you have to look at both sides of the basketball. For example, we had, I think Joe had sent me, Joe, what was that, lineups you sent me? It was on lineups, right? Yeah, and so plus minus is
right.
what it was. So he said, man, this is kind of interesting. And then we started talking about it, and I go, you know, it is, but I'm like Rob in the sense that I'm a little old school too, you know. And I do agree that when you have open threes, you should take them.
Right.
I get the simple analytics of that, right? However, you got to factor in so many other things like matchups and defensive matchups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking about trying to win a game, somebody might be might not have the best plus minus number as another person, but you know, in that particular game, because of who they're playing, or whether they're playing man, or
right.
whether they're playing zone.
Yep,
exactly.
And you know, time and score. Can they take care of the ball? Are they a good free throw shooter? I mean, there's a host of reasons that you make the substitutions that you make,
right.
And that you make, you know, that the rotations that you have. You go offense for defense. You know, all those kind of things. So that's why it's good to look at that, but it's more entertaining and thought provoking,
mm-hmm.
as one of the components of the profession that make you. Try to make you a better coach, you know, to factor in all of the different dynamics. But at the end of the day, when the you know, tire hits the road, you got to make gut calls a lot of time that have nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with analytics.
That's right.
There is no analytics for mental toughness. There is no analytics for, you know,
getting that loose ball
experience.
Or,
yeah. And
right,
just,
right.
You know, sometimes you got to rock with a guy just because of how many how great he was in practice the last couple of days.
Whether a kid is motivated or
you
not.
Know, Nick gets an opportunity to play, not because for any other reason that he was performing very well in practice.
Right.
And so my gut went with him. He gets 26 points and we beat New Mexico.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that analytically, that probably wasn't very smart to put him
right,
in.
Right, right. Yeah.
But that's I kind of got on a rant there. But
no.
But I can do that because it's my radio
that's
show.
Right, that's
so,
right.
And you've coached 400 games and,
right.
and survived.
Yeah, 399, I don't think I could have had that rant. 400, I'm all in, baby. Bring on the big heavy hitters here.
Yeah, the last guy who got close to 400, he's in a room now by himself. The walls are real soft.
He's analyzing that.
He's That's using right. some analytics there. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. How much of a difference does Mbakay Jong's presence on the court make? I mean, it's a different team.
It is a different, you know, it's not just a different team. It's a different energy. It's a different confidence. When we say, hey, listen, okay, you got to run this guy off the three-point line. And then you do it, and you know, well, he's got my back. You know, yeah. We didn't really have a rim protector, shot blocker in there, and shot changer for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, JTT's a very athletic young man. However, his instincts and IQ are still in the early developmental stages, so he'll end up being probably one of those guys. But right now, he's not consistent enough with that. But Mbakay, that's one of his natural instincts is to go beat it up, you know, and that's what it gives a little more confidence on when you're guarding the ball when you know he's behind you. I say that, but at the end of the day, you got to still try to keep a guy in front. But it's good to have him on there.
And you mentioned JTT, and I wanted to ask this. I'd had a conversation actually with Cup of Joe about this a little bit too. So Mbakay, maybe he and Amari certainly, but Mbakay, Robert and I have talked about it, probably took the biggest step from freshman to sophomore in overall game and instincts and basketball IQ and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Can you see Jonathan taking a similar step because of his work ethic?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Amir, who's here with us, drove over with me from school today, and we were talking about that very same issue in the car.
Yeah.
Just on JTT's work ethic. I think he's going to have a phenomenal offseason. With Shakur coming back and Shekna coming back and both those guys being eligible to play, and then you look at JTT and Mbakay, and then you still got to add – you could almost add Nick and
Joel
into that to that mix too. You know, it's going to be great competition in the offseason. And then when you look at that, you go, you know what, who's going to outwork the next guy? That kid will live in the gym. If I told him, you know, we've got new housing, but you're going to have to sleep in the locker room, he'd be like, well, coach, can I get a pillow?
He wouldn't have a
he'd
problem
be good.
With
he'd
it.
Be good. Yeah. You know, like, as long as they get a pillow and a blanket, you know, when it's like this. But, no, he's a phenomenal gym rat. And those guys, you know, Pascal Siakam was the same way. I mentioned this to, I don't know who I was talking to, but Pascal Siakam was the same way. Yeah, and then we have another young man who's not playing this year, red shirt and Bongai, Louis Bongai, who is about 6'11". Is he our tallest guy? We're calling you Cup of Joe now. Your name is no longer Joe Esposito. It's
right.
Cup of Joe. So what is he, 6'11"? Yeah, he's about 6'11". And he is he's getting better. He's practicing with us, and he's doing some really good things defensively, shooting the ball well. He made a couple threes in practice the other day, participating as a scout team
right.
guy. He was the kid Thompson, the freshman
right.
from Wyoming. So he replicated him, and he goes out, and we tell, okay, you're a three-point shooter. He loves it, right?
His eyes like, lit up.
He steps out, and he knocks down 2 threes. Everybody's kind of cheering, like, yeah, get him, Buckeye, you know. So that was fun.
That's awesome. Well, the, no doubt the future is bright, but the future right now is San Diego State on Saturday, and we'll talk about that. Also coming up, we've got a special guest with us today that you brought with us. He's here, huh?
My first division – well, no, he's not my first Division I recruit, but my first recruit at San Diego State was Eric Sanders, who's like, you know, my eldest son and basically is, you know, kind of followed me around a little bit. I'll tell you a brief story about that. Were you about to take a break?
We're going
to
need to take a break.
Yeah, you take a break. I got about 17 Eric stories. I'll pick the best two. When
all right. It's the Eric Sanders story when we come back. Fans, remember the 2019 Nissan Rogue. It's one solid Defender. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics. You are listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino here in North Dakota on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Now Clyburn knocks the ball away from James and goes down the lane, lays it up and in. Great defense by Chris, good pressure defense. 8-2 run of Rebels, and the Rebels off to that requested good start with 16-17 to go in the first half. The defense. We are back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. John Sandler, Robert Smith, and head coach Marvin Menzies getting ready for the Runner Rebels in San Diego State. That's Saturday evening, 7 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. And as coach said, crowds make a difference, and the Aztecs are playing as well as anybody in the conference right now. They just beat Reno at home and are going to be looking for the season sweep. It is a very tough matchup for the Rebels. It is always an emotional game, and we would love to see a nice crowd at the Thomas and Mack. The Rebels are 9-5 in conference play, 15-11 overall, and program progress being made. Come be part of that and come out on Saturday night against San Diego State. All right, Coach, our next guest is going to be your son,
right?
Your stepson over here, Eric Sanders, and it's apropos because San Diego State is where you recruited Eric. It's where he starred as an all-conference player in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
And you said you were running through your 923 Eric Sanders stories to pick the ones you could tell on the air.
Right.
So.
Well, we're down only 17.
Okay.
That can go on the air.
All right.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I'll give you a great G-rated one.
All right.
So Eric is the baby of the bunch on the team that we recruited. He was a freshman out of Sarah High School in Gardena, and played for DeJuan Hurt, who has since passed, God rest his soul. But so we recruited Eric. Coach Fisher loved him, followed him around like crazy over the summer and said, "This kid's going to be special, Marvin." I'm telling you, he's going to be special. And I said, "All right, coach, well, you just give me the point and I'll get it done." So we bird-dogged and we sat on him like crazy, developed a great relationship, and we signed him. He's on campus, and he's with Randy Holcomb and Al Fox and DeAndre Moore, and he's with a bunch of like junior college and seniors, Myron Epps, a bunch of guys. And so they were, so I don't know how it all started, but one day they just said, he said something or whatever happened, and one, you know how they all talk about each other in the locker room. He said, "Man, be quiet, man. You look like an eighth grader." And so the name literally stuck. To this day, they call him
right?
Eighth grade.
That's
that is his nickname. Anybody in our office, if you walk in our office, say, "Is eighth grade around?" They go, "No, he's over in Mendenhall." Yeah, go over there. So he has this baby face, and he's filled out a little bit, but he's still eighth grade to us. He's still eighth grade to me, and you know, one of my favorite guys when he was in. I'll tell you, I'll segue into another portion of a relationship. You know me, I'm a family guy.
Absolutely.
And I was very adamant that anybody that plays for me, you know, I'd like to be involved in their life if they like me involved, and I would be readily available to help them with whatever I can. And so he graduated, went and played overseas for several years, and he started contacting me on a more regular basis when he had time because he said, "Coach, I really want to get into coaching. I really want to get into coaching." So I said, "Well, this is what you need to do." And I gave him people he needed to stay in touch with and, you know, foster relationships with and so on and so forth. And so when he came out, he actually ended up at Montana State. He did some stuff back at San Diego State first and so forth. But then he ended up at Montana State as an assistant. And I remember him calling me and said, I had an opening, and I remember him calling me. He goes, I'm still like his dad, you know. So it's like asking your dad for permission for something, right?
Have the car.
And so he said, Coach, you know, I know you. I know you. You might. Well, I heard that you might. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, Eric, I have a spot, and yes, I'll hire you. Don't worry about it. So, for real, Coach? I like, yeah, bro, I got your back. So, Eric came with me. He was with me at New Mexico State. We won a bunch of games there. He stayed on with Paul Weir after I left for a year. And didn't follow Paul there. Paul was looking for some regional guys that could be more beneficial for what he was trying to do with his profile and his staff. So I was really fortunate to be able to bring another family member back here. And you know, optimistic that if he doesn't go, you know, become a full-time guy somewhere else, that, you know, he'll move into one of those positions when time allows.
Well, we look forward to visiting with eighth grade here in just a little while. Coach, we know you've got a bunch of things you got to get done. Getting ready for San Diego State and some other things related to the program.
Yep.
As always, appreciate you coming on your show.
Yeah, I appreciate being on my show. Thanks for having me on my show.
And we will get a chance to visit. Real quick, just some thoughts about the preparation for San Diego State on Saturday and the importance of the crowd.
Right. I think I can never stress the amount of gratitude to the people that do currently come out. We've got more coming out now, and we appreciate that. It doesn't go unnoticed to the players. Most importantly, the young men in the program that said yes to playing, you know, donning the scarlet and gray and wanting to be running Rebels, they really do appreciate it when the fans show up and cheer like crazy. So this is one of those games. This is a true rivalry game, not unlike Reno, that we're going to need every butt in the seats, just like they did at San Diego State last night to defeat Reno. They had the show, as they call it, was packed, and they had a sold-out crowd there for that game. And, you know, we would request honor your presence at the game for all of you that – and I know it's a little nippy and cold, but you know what? Just leave a little early, come a little early. I'm sure we got all kind of promotions that you could take advantage of.
That's right.
But we would definitely love to have you in the crowd on Saturday.
Saturday at 7 o'clock.
Saturday at 7 o'clock. And then lastly, you know, they're playing great basketball, San Diego State is right now. They're always a little bit better in February, just like they were last year when they won the Mountain West Conference Tournament Championship. And Dutch is doing a great job. Brian Dutcher over there is a good friend of mine. I feel like we're improving as well. I wanted to get back to the confines of home, and I'm really optimistic about how we're going to play. Now, whether it equates to a win or not is really going to be decided by the players on the floor, but I feel good about how we're practicing. I feel good about how we're preparing, and I feel good about our overall progress.
Coach, appreciate it. We'll talk to you before the game against San Diego State.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Eric Sanders, eighth grade, up next. You're listening, reminding you that this show is brought to you by Dignity Health, where we know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why they offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. You're listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Learfield, IMG College. Thompson has it knocked away. Abake did it again, and Robotham comes away with it. Noah throws the ball right side. Clyburn for a three. Oh. It's good. The transition three. Chris Clyburn knocks it down. Big play in that Wyoming game. The third of the three in a row. The Rebels have won. Last two on the road and getting ready for the big rematch with San Diego State at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday night. John Sandler, Robert Smith with you here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. And we're gonna step it up. Eighth grade joining us here. Uh-oh. Eric Sanders. Eric Sanders, as you heard Coach Menzies, one of Coach's family members.
Right.
And he looks at it that way. Eric was an absolute stud at San Diego State, an all-conference player in the Mountain West Conference, and knows this conference very well. And Eric, really appreciate you coming in and sitting down with us for a little while.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
You have such a history in this conference, and you've either been playing in it, coaching in it, involved in some way, or watching it from not too far away for a long, long time. And this conference has had ups and downs, and now it seems to be a little bit of a split conference. What's your assessment of Mountain West Conference right now as it stands?
Well, right now, still an exciting brand of basketball. You know, you could go into recruiting doors and talk about you want to play in the Mountain West. This has a great history from the early 2000s to what it is now, and just has a plethora of NBA guys. So, you know, I think it's going to have a bright future just with the influx of new coaches coming in, mm-hmm. just kind of implementing their blueprints and feel for what they want to bring to their teams. I just think it's going to blossom as time goes by.
One of the things that we do a lot, we'll spend some time talking with either coaches who are maybe guys who are in town, maybe scouting, or the TV guys who kind of come in and then disappear, who don't really have a sense of how hard it is to win in this conference on the road and all that goes into that. And, yeah, it's hard to win everywhere on the road. Mount West Conference is a pain on the road.
Winning on the road, you can never take that lightly, no matter, you know, a la example, San Jose going to Air Force, you just can't take those wins for granted.
That's right.
And it starts with practice. It starts with focus. And, you know, you earn all those wins that you fight for on the road in the Mountain West every weekend.
How do you, with all your experience in this conference, how are you able to communicate that when you're talking to kids and working around the program? How effectively can you communicate to the kids both the step up from high school, you know, you got a very young team with the Rebels, the step up from high school to college, and then the difficulty of carrying it through a long season, especially on the road?
Well, just my playing experience gives me makes me reputable. Just saying, I've been there, done that, you know, had the muscle memory, and I could just tell them, just for an example, like, hey, when you go to Wyoming, it's going to be hard to breathe. Don't really freak out about it. Make sure you pack some Vaseline on the bench. So you
that's
won't
right.
Get
yeah, that's
yep,
right.
Yep. And, you know, and sometimes people can listen to you and take your words for it, and then sometimes you have to learn the hard way and take your bumps and bruises, players do.
Are kids more hard-headed today than they were?
It depends what you're talking about. When, you know, sometimes you talk about, hey, this player is really good, and sometimes they have to, you know, go nose to nose with that guy to really fill out the first time out. Like, okay, like, this isn't an exaggeration.
Right. You know what I've found with kids today is there's so many things out there to do. You know, you got social media, you got iPads, you got all this. We didn't have that coming up, you know, not the way it's readily available to the kids now. But I just think there's so many things out there for them to do and see and go after that. You know, I don't know that they're hard-headed, but it's just they got so many choices.
I think it's their attention spans are
yeah,
so
small. Exactly.
Coaches have about this not letting social media overcome you, mm-hmm. and I kind of look at it on the flip side, like, hey, use social media and use this technology that we have to, you know, be more efficient in the classroom.
Right.
To promote right stuff, to set a better profile up for yourself and for the team you represent, which is the Running Rebels, and is no reason why you shouldn't go into the game and shouldn't know every nuance of a person.
Exactly.
You know, details from the strengths to its weaknesses to the offense, because all that stuff is available.
It can help your game as well.
I wish I had it.
The
guys always ask me, yeah, coach, you know, we use this platform called Synergy where it has all the games and it kind of it's a detailed program where you want to watch people's shots, you want to watch people's misses.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I played so long ago, the software wasn't out yet.
that's okay, because when Robert was playing, they'd use cave paintings.
We didn't know what software was.
I just said, you know, I was just right in between the DVD and
the
VHS
era.
So.
Well, I mean, all that experience, though, certainly pays off. And you and your little brother, Brandon, we got to tell. I mean, so you got Eric Sanders, you got Brandon Jacobs, who are both terrific guys and know a ton of basketball.
Right.
Both had great careers, and they have come and have brought. What specifically is your guys' role in terms of your responsibilities?
You know, we have our managerial like clerical stuff that we do within the office, but I just think coach gives us the leeway to really kind of mentor the guys, you know, and it kind of works out well with me being a big so-and-so, quote-unquote, and Brandon playing the guard position. So it meshes well with our ideas and how we can talk to different people. And if I'm not too sure what's going on because it's a guard thing, I can say talk to Brandon, and Brandon can do vice versa. And just, you know, Brandon played in the Final Four. We both played professional for a while. And I just we really appreciate what Coach Menzies has done to us and give us a platform to be a coach and to be a part of this well-known university.
Does the fact that you guys are, you know, a little bit closer in age to the players, you can maybe identify and communicate with them effectively?
You can just know when they're talking about you because the slang always changes. So, you know, when you're in the bus and somebody says something smart or tries to, you know, give an analogy to something that's kind of cool and hip now, you can kind of be like, hey, watch your mouth.
Well, I mean, you know, so Eric and Brandon spend a good amount of time working together, you know, with their various responsibilities. But the two of them on the trips.
They're funny.
Oh,
man.
My
they're
gosh. Funny. I mean, if you remember the old TV show, I Love Lucy. So I don't know if you're Lucy or he and he's Ricky or what. But these two constantly going at it. I love it.
Brandon got an old soul. He's younger than me, but he's really about 47. So, you know, he gets tired quick. And
That's amazing.
That's very
funny.
He
needs to get his rest and stuff like that. So it's been a good journey. Our whole staff dynamic, even though with adding Coach Esposito, it's just been really good. He's been another guy we can kind of fall on. And before, you know, we go talk to Coach about something, you know, he's been there, done that on all levels. So it's just really just a good dynamic from the standpoint where it's different levels. We kind of, you know, the second year in, I kind of know where our value stands and how can we help Coach, because that's our number one objective. You know, make Coach look good. He told me this when he first hired me. So there's three things. He said, make me look good all the time, help me win games, and make my job easier. So, you know, it's a broadened horizon, but I've been around Coach for a while, and I kind of knows how he's thinking without him saying it, so I can relay stuff to players.
That's great.
And have confidence that, you know, he'll back me, or that's what his beliefs are.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that a little bit in our last segment. That's coming up. We're going to take a break. I want to talk about your perspective about UNLV, because you come at it, you know, you were outside the program for a long time playing basketball. Yeah. You're also fairly close to it. You've seen it. You've watched it. And we want to get your idea of where things stand and your view of the future of this program, because we know you're going to be a big part of it. And now it's time for this. Finley Chevrolet is your home for Woo! Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to Woo! Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads. Back with more, our final segment, the Marvin Menzies Radio Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Woo! Out to Tomlin in the corner, Rabotham. Noah, three from the corner. Is good! A big shot by Noah Rabotham. Timeout Rebels. 1:09 to go, 9-point lead. That was the final nail in the coffin, man, for the Wyoming Cowboys as the Rebels won their third straight. Go to 9-5. First time the Rebels will be at 500 or better in the conference in 5 years, and a chance to take another step toward finishing in that top five on Saturday, but it will not be easy. A red-hot and very talented and very long San Diego State Aztec team coming to the Thomas and Mack, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. John Sandler, Robert Smith, Eric Sanders with us. Eric, you've been around this conference in a variety of ways for a long time, and that gives you some perspective. And I think one of the things that you would share an opinion of with a lot of other people is that this conference needs San Diego State to be good, and they need New Mexico to be good, and they need UNLV to be good for this conference to reestablish itself nationally.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, those are all national names, and a couple years ago, those guys, all those teams were fighting for bids without trying to contest to win the conference tournament. So, like I said, there's been a new influx of coaches coming in, and it's just all about development, which Coach Menzies really speaks highly of, and that's kind of like the cement and foundation of him running his program.
Go ahead.
Well, just in terms of your view of the future of this Run and Rebel program, you got to come in last year. You missed year one, or we call it year zero of Marvin's era, because of where this program was. He had two players and nothing and no chance to recruit and had to start it over. I say the program spent 2 years in reconstruction mode, and now this is really the first year of the rebuilding process. Where do you see this future, the future of this program?
Well, the future is bright. You can see our young guys running around and getting better day by day. We took our lumps here in the season, yeah, but that's what you want us to do to get prepared for the later games in late February and March. And I just think, you know, we're taking great strides in improvement, and most important is just in-game experience. Sometimes we talk about that gray area a lot that you're not going to understand until you play 25 or 15 collegiate games to understand what to do in those situations.
Well, and the Rebels are getting that understanding. San Diego State on Saturday night, you, as well as anybody, maybe better than anybody, know how challenging that game is. What do the Rebels have to do to try to split the series?
First of all, we have to rebound. You know, just looking at the stat sheet, yeah, that was a thing that we talked about. That was the biggest deficit coming into it. You know, they probably beat us by double digits in the first half. So just rebounding and taking care of the ball, just some of our staples that we talk about every game. But that, I would say, A1 is rebounding the ball. With those guys being so long and athletic, we're going to have to – can't have a jumping contest with those guys because they're better athletes.
So Nick Blair's going to have to get in there and move people around.
Old man Nick.
Use that old man skill. That's right. How fun is it watching him do well?
You know, and I've seen Nick play in high school in various stages. So it just seems he's like a fine – automobile. You just got to get the engine revved up a little bit.
Keep it tuned.
And, you know, get some WD-40 on the joints. And once he gets a good lather out there and gets it to a good flow, he brings great experience and great composure to the team. And it's just been fun seeing him being able to get a chance out there.
Real quickly, how much are you looking forward to working with these kids next year and as they get better?
It's good. It's just kind of like the transformation for me as a player, for me kind of going from the guy from off the bench to being able to be an All-Mountain West guy. So, you know, it takes time and it takes patience. Yep. And I just think my trials and tribulations as a player, you know, can help the next recruiting class and the guys here now move forward in a positive way.
He's going to get them from 8th grade to prime grade.
That's
what
right,
he's going to do.
That's right.
Absolutely. Eric Sanders, thanks for being with us. Remember, the Runner Rebels at home, Thomas and Mack, Saturday night, 7 o'clock against San Diego State. Get out there. Let's rock that place.
Come on.
And get it going against San Diego State. Runner Rebels have won 3 straight, so come on out. Thanks to Jared back in our studios. Thanks to Eric and Coach. Chris Hernandez, the engineer, and now for Robert. This is John saying thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Talk to you Saturday night. Be safe on the roads, everyone.
Inside the New Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Marvin Menzies Radio Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. The preceding has been a Learfield.